It's time for Football Asia with Paul Williams.
Yes, time to talk Asian football with the host of the Asian Game podcast, Paul Williams. How are you, Paul?
Good, Simon. How are you going, mate?
Very good. Broski's here too.
Hello, Paul.
We're going to kick off with the other group in Asian World Cup qualifying, as in the other one, to Australia, Iran and South Korea. Well, it looks as though they're almost there. One foot in Qatar.
I'd say 1.5 feet in Qatar, probably. pretty much two. It's impossible to see them being caught from here, you'd have to think. Iran at 10 points clear of third place. They're almost done already. Korea 8 points clear. So it would take a catastrophic collapse from either of those sides. And given the form they're showing at the moment, you can't really see that happening. And you can't really see, given the form of the other teams, one of those going on a run that would be able to reel them in. So I reckon you can all but lock it in that Iran and Korea will be going to Qatar next year. And Iran, probably a little bit lucky given that they were on the verge of a surprising upset loss to Lebanon in the opening match. And it looked like the decision to drop Mehdi Taremi might come back to bite them, but scored in the 91st and the 95th minutes to get out of jail and save Dragan Skotkic's bacon a little bit. So they got the 2-1 win and then did it relatively easily over Syria. So no, Korea and Iran, they look comfortable.
To think as well, that could have been us when we were heading into that Japan game. If we'd beaten them, we would have gone 10 points clear.
That's true.
And there's those 1.5 feet you were talking about. We would have been almost there instead.
Yeah, we had the foot chopped off. Paul, by contrast to the top two, there's a real scrap for the third place playoff. The Emirates are in pole, but Lebanon and Iraq, even Syria, really, are not yet out of it. It could be any one of those four teams.
Yeah, and neither are showing exactly, you know, the form you would like to see to say that one is, you know, a certainty to take that third spot, because all have shown over the opening six games a tendency to disappoint and a tendency to not get the job done. Lebanon, they looked like in the opening, you know, four or five matches that they'd improved a little bit, and they have certainly improved, but I still think they're a somewhat limited side. They rely very much on a defensive setup and stifling, trying to stifle the other team. I mean, Iran effectively played them off the park and just couldn't find the back of the net until they did. They conceded those two late goals. They conceded a late soft penalty, it must be said, against the UAE. So they're a difficult side to play against, but I don't think they present any great challenge. I think the UAE are the side that, if they can find some form, they're the side that look most likely to seal that third position, but they're not showing particularly great form either. Got a couple of injuries to some key attacking talent. And Bert van Marwijk, before they got that win over Lebanon, was starting to come under a little bit of pressure in his second spell back in charge of the UAE. He started to hear some rumblings that maybe if they lost that game that he might be out the door before they meet back up again in January. So that may have saved his job for a little bit. He's got a couple of big matches coming up in January to see if they can further cement that third spot.
He has, and you're right. I mean, looking at the table, they've won one game out of their six, which, considering the squad, some of the teams they're playing, for a team like UAE, just is completely unacceptable. I mean, here we are talking about where we're sitting at the moment, and we're looking already at the South American, who we might be facing there. But you're right, we've got it. That's a big game there. If it was to be UAE, Lebanon, Iraq, who would we be wanting to face out of those?
Oh, jeez. Who would you be wanting to face? You'd probably, and it's no disrespect to them that I'd say that, you'd probably be wanting to play Lebanon, I reckon, because I reckon any of the other ones, and Lebanon are certainly capable too, but the way that I see it, they're a little bit weaker than the other sides. But certainly those other teams on their day are more than capable if they get their stuff together. So interesting too that Syria, after that loss to Iran, their coach Nizam Mahous was let go by the federation. So they'll have a new coach in charge come January and February's matches. So let's see if he can galvanise them, because we know they've certainly got the talent. I mean, when you've got Omar El Sommer and Omar Kribin up front, then you've certainly got the firepower. So, whatever it is, something's not going right for them.
let go is probably the most diplomatic explanation of a departure of a coach I've heard in some time, Paul. And I'm sure that the FA would be sort of rubbing their hands financially, at least, as we heard a bit earlier, if it was to be Lebanon, because the Lebanese expat community in Australia would be out in force for that game. We'll see how it goes. Let's move on to domestic football for the last couple of minutes. In the J-League, Paul, the Yokohama F. Marinos, Kevin Muscat's team, of course, they belted FC Tokyo 8-0, which led to the resignation of Kenta Hasegawa. Now, this was the guy who was, wasn't he in the frame for the Japanese national team job just a few months ago?
He was. The talk was that if Moriyasu was let go after that Australia game, then Hasegawa was in the frame to replace him. I think this is probably been on the cards for a little while. It was brought forward a little bit by that 8-0 loss, but I think the talk was that he was going to leave at the end of the season anyway to be replaced. So an 8-0 loss will probably hasten that result. So yeah, that was a big win for Muskie, and he probably needed that too, to be fair. As I said a couple of times, they'd been getting the odd result, but their form hadn't been particularly good, and they were starting to be some questions asked by the Marinos faithful, who were, you know, starting to lose a little bit of patience. The honeymoon period had ended for Muskie, but an 8-0 win over FC Tokyo, that'll quickly win the fans back on side. So they appear a lock to secure that second spot and Champions League football, which, given that he came in halfway through the season, is always a difficult prospect. That's a pretty good job to get them into second, comfortably second, and back in the Champions League. So that's well done to Muskie.
Yeah, pretty decent. Final question. The big finals in Asia, club finals, Mohorak, that we discussed a couple of weeks ago, they defeated Nassaf of Uzbekistan 3-0 in Manama to win that trophy for the second time. The big one next week, of course, is the Asian Champions League final. Al-Hilal against Pohang Steelers. Alex Grant involved for the Steelers. You've been speaking to Bafatimbi Gomez on your podcast. Who do you think is going to win this one?
You would imagine Al-Hilal going favourites, but I wonder if they've got some flashbacks and some nightmares coming up of 2014, because they're playing at home. They're heavy favourites. They're playing a team that are rank underdogs who wear black and red hoop tops. the parallels are uncanny. Al-Hilal will go into this one as heavy, heavy, heavy favourites. The form of Pohang domestically is disappointing. They've lost three of their last four. They're struggling there. They've been okay in the Champions League, but it is a surprise that they've made it this far. Again, like Western Sydney. So everything is going in favour of Al-Hilal. They'll play at home, 100% capacity. So it's going to be 65,000-70,000 people at the King Fahd Stadium. You're right, I did speak to Bafatimbi Gomez earlier this week. He looked calm. He looked relaxed. He looked comfortable. But he had a determined steel the way he was talking about it. And I'd be very, very surprised if it was anyone but Al-Hilal lifting that trophy come what Wednesday morning our time next week.
Yeah, I think calm is an understatement. He was almost horizontal. But anyway, that's a big game. And we wish Alex Grant, of course, all the best. And we thank you, Paul, again, for your time this week. Good on you, mate. Speak to you next week.
Cheers, guys. Cheers.
That's Paul Williams. Another break. And we'll round the show off with Greatest Games.